So this morning, though, if you want to title my message, okay, it's No God, No Evil, No God, No Evil. You know, and if you see the play on the words, and if you just spoke it, everybody's like, oh, what do you mean no God, no evil? But the fact is that we have to know God. Okay? It tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and we all know the story. It's a very popular story. Everybody knows that Adam and Eve, right? And it goes on to say, and the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. And in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So here, God is telling Adam, giving him his command, that there's every tree. Now, God created the garden, right? And what God creates is perfect, right? Everything is perfect. God does not create anything that is harmful for us. I mean, say it again. God doesn't create anything that is harmful for us. However, if we don't use things that he creates in the way that he intends for us to use it, then we can make it become harmful. Okay? So he created the tree of good and evil. He also created a tree of life. Okay? And matter of fact, if you read in his creation, it says that every tree that produces fruit, it tasted good, and it was good to the eye. Okay? So there's his command to Adam, but you know, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Now, here is some truth that we have. And I know I don't have this one up on here, but Psalms 119, verse 11, says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. That is very important. That it is our job, it's our purpose as Christians, is that we're in the word, right? We're in his written word. And we understand and we hide in our heart so that every situation that we're in, every circumstance, every move that we make, every step that we take, don't worry, I'm not going to sing that song. As I'm moving around, right? I can see, oh no, my daughter's probably saying, you're going to embarrass me. But every step you take, every move you make, we need to be in the word of God. Okay? It needs to be in our heart. We need to understand it. Because wherever you go, when you walk out the door, and you stop at the gas station, or you go out to dinner, there's going to be something there, there's going to be an opportunity there that Satan can try to use to lure us away. But we need the word hidden in our heart, okay? So Adam was given his command. And then we want to jump forward to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, okay? I'll read it from my paper. There it is. Okay. I like reading it with you that way. Plus it's bigger print, you know. I'm getting old. My glasses aren't as good as it was. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. In verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here comes the serpent. Now we know there's two different people speaking to us. When God speaks, when Jesus spoke, he said, it is written. Right. When Satan speaks, he says, is it written? Right. And it's true. He tries to come in, and he tries to confuse you. He tries to say, is this really what it means? And the woman responded to what was said, but you also notice that she added that we should not touch it. You know, and I get in trouble for saying this, but I'll say it. It's almost like the word was given to Adam, And Adam had to tell it to his wife. And Adam was like, you know what? You never listen to me, honey. So just don't touch it, and you won't have a problem, right? Just don't touch it. You touch it, oh, you need. So he added that little command to her. But when Eve goes and he says it to the serpent, that we shouldn't eat it, nor should we touch it. Now I want to show you one other important thing in this. It goes on in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit. Now what did I say earlier? That every tree in the garden was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. Every tree in the garden was good for food and pleasant for the eyes. But there was one thing about this tree that was different than the other trees, and it was desirable to make one wise. It was a way for them to put themselves above God. Now, when we look, what was the sin, the first sin, and everybody wants to say the first sin was disobedience. Now, that sin, yes, disobedience was the sin, was the physical part of sin, but it was created because of pride. It was created because of pride, a desire to be like God, desire to choose. You hear a lot of questions, well, why would God put the tree in there to tempt man? Why would he do that? And the answer is because he wants us to have a choice. However, there was some other things that Adam could have done, he could have chose, that would have been disobedient to God. Because really it tells in the Bible that you were, he created Adam to work the garden. Adam could have disobeyed God and not worked the garden. Okay? He tells them to be fruitful and multiply. They could have disobeyed God and said, we're not going to multiply. They said, take dominion over the earth. And they could have disobeyed God and said, you know, we're not going to take dominion of the earth. Okay? So, even though disobedience was that sin, the true thing behind the sin was pride. Now, remember, in Ezekiel, okay, it talks about Satan and talks about his fall, okay? And we're talking about the king of Tyre. He's talking about Satan, and what was Satan saying? That if I can just become like God, it was his pride that caused him to fall. Okay? It tells us in Proverbs. But let me, I don't think I have this up here, so don't be looking for it. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before the destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A pride comes before destruction. It comes before the fall. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with humble is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes shame. What happened after Adam and Eve ate of the garden, or ate of the apple, or the fruit, whatever it may be? What happened is that they realized they were naked, and they turned into shame. It turned into shame. They hid themselves from God because now they realized they messed up. The root behind their sin was pride. That I could have eaten of any tree. It was good to the eye. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. But this tree was going to give me wisdom. And if I eat this fruit, then I could be like God. I can know good and evil. And I can do whatever I want because I'm like God. That could have been what was in Eve's mind and in Adam's mind, that I could do whatever I want. I don't believe that it was to let us know what was good and what was evil. It came and gave us this spirit that we can actually choose what is good and evil. And isn't it more prevalent today that we see that? That we are seeing what is good being called evil and what is evil being called good. And today we are hearing so many people saying, well, you know what? This is what, you know, you're not a Christian if you don't accept homosexuality. You're not a Christian if you don't accept this sin. You're hateful people. And is God really against that? Didn't Jesus come to love everybody? And yes, Jesus came to love everybody, but he didn't come to love sin. He came to love the person. And we know that every person that he had contact with, he may have ate with sinners, he may have ate with tax collectors, but his job wasn't come to eat with him and partake in what they were doing. His job was to come and what? Save them. Turn their life around. So this very act that Adam and Eve partaken in was to allow them to choose what is right and wrong. And that's something we have to be careful of today, is we need to begin to not choose what other people say or what pleases us, pleases our eyes, what makes us feel good. What we need to choose today is what is written in the Word of God. Amen. What we need to choose today is His Word. Is His Word. Tells us in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. I know it's one of the earlier verses. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Hear my instruction. Listen to God's word. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, we all know this one. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And then this is the important one part here. In verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. If you abide in his word. And what does that mean? You live in his word. You live his word. You have it in your heart. And everything you do. I love church. And I love preaching. And I love pastors who preach. And I love pastors who preach the word of God. Let me clarify that. Because there are pastors out there that don't preach the word of God. There's pastors who preach their own version to bring people into the church. But I love pastors who preach the word of God. I love preaching the word of God. Why? Because I want to see you grow. However, there is a responsibility by each and every one of you to read the word of God yourself. To live it. I'm sorry if I offend anyone. But you're not here holding the pastor's hand 24/7. And then when you have a circumstance, Pastor, what should I do? He's only with you a couple hours a week, if that. Maybe a couple hours every other week, or a couple hours every month, or a couple hours two times a year, right? On Easter and Christmas. It is our responsibility to get yourselves into the Word of God, to read it, to study it. And I tell you what, I may have said the last time, and I preach this to everybody, say it, that the internet, you can't believe everything you see. However, if you Google it, you Google your questions. You Google, you know, what does it say about this in the Bible? It will take you. It's easy. It's easy to find your scriptures. Google it and then read. And what I do is I don't read it from the internet. I open my Bible and read it from the Bible. I see it for myself. I can't be with you or with my church 24/7. Would I love to be? Yes. And do I make myself available as much as I possibly can? I never tell anybody who calls me. And I tell you what, I don't know you, Pastor, but I get called at 2 o'clock in the morning. I get called at 4 o'clock in the morning. I get called all hours of the time, a day, you know, with people. And I never turn them away. I will give what I can. But I always encourage them, man, you gotta find this yourself. You gotta be in the Word. And the only way to do it is in the Word. Make it a practice to abide in the Word. I love people. I remember years ago, you know, I was a new Christian. And I know many of you here before heard my story. I was divorced, you know, and I met my wonderful wife, Joyce. But when I was divorced, a lot of drama. A lot of things, and I'm not going to say it's drama because of my ex-wife. You know, I create drama too, right? We all create drama. But here I am, you know, going through a hard time, and I'm really struggling, and I needed answers. You know, and I call a pastor, not my pastor, was my dad, and I was always so scared of calling my dad. You know, plus well, the fact is, my dad's always going to side with me, right? You know, he's always going to be, hey, yeah, son, you're, you know, but. So I would call another pastor that we knew or a counselor. And they said, well, you know what? You come in next Wednesday. And I was like, I can't wait till next Wednesday. I'm dealing with something right now. And it's hard. And that's why I keep this open door policy that I do what I can. But though, eventually, you got to learn yourself. And eventually that I need to know what I can do to get myself to next Sunday. I need to know what I can do to get myself until where I am around other believers that can encourage me and not get deceived and turned away. Now, there's three ways that Satan will try to tempt you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride. Think about any sin that's out there. Whatever sin, you know, you might consider sin. There's one of those three things are behind it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or pride. If you lie, it's usually because you don't want to humble yourself. And it's pride. Also because you may lie because you want to do something that pleases your flesh. You know, or that's something that looks good that you don't want to be exposed. If you steal, because why? Because you have lust for materialistic things. It's the lust of your flesh. If you want, you steal a car, oh, that looked pretty good. It's the lust of the eyes, right? One of those three things creates all the sin. But I want to give you a good report. I want to give you something, because you say, man, sometimes it's so hard. It's so hard not to give in. It's so hard to live my life right. It's so hard when all this stuff shows. But it's possible. Because Adam, he failed because lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But there was another man who came. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And he was tempted three times by Satan. And the first time it was, hey, you're hungry. Turn that rock into bread and eat because you're hungry. You could do that. And he tempted Jesus by lust of the flesh. Jesus, what did Jesus do? Something that Adam and Eve didn't do. It is written. It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan comes and takes him high up onto the temple and says, just jump off and the angels will catch you. And Jesus says, what? It is written that I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. That was pride. Oh, you might jump off the temple and you're the God. The angels will come. And then the third thing, he takes them up on the mountain and overviews Jerusalem. Hey, all of this could be yours. Look how pretty. Look at all these people. Look at everything here. It could be yours if you just bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus say? It is written that only God you shall serve. See, Jesus gave us the way of escape. Jesus gave us the weapon that we need to overcome Satan. It is written. And my question to you is, can you do it? And the only way you can do it, to know what is written, is read what is written. I can go on out on the street, or I can go even to people in my church. I'll admit, I go to my people in my church, and I can say, can you tell me if Shamrach, the book of Shamrach, is in the Old or New Testament? Oh, that's in the Old Testament. You read it? Oh, yeah. Good. Want to quote it to me? You want to find it in the Bible? I could, and I'm sure there's many people out there that, I read the Bible. And you can give them a verse and you can give them a phony chapter and everything else. And you see people flipping through. I bought mine from Dollar General or Gabe's, right? It must have omitted that chapter. It was mistakes. I got it on discount. Right? So, what I'm saying to you, though, is, and I love your pastor, and I know you love your pastor, but I'm watching your pastor do one thing that I would love to see everybody do. When I'm speaking and I write verses, and especially if it's not showing up there, because what he's doing, he's writing the verses out. Why? I might have said this last time, I don't know. I'm 47 years old, I forget. When you go home, read those verses. Make sure it says what I said is said. And you know what? Google it. Talk to your pastor and say, you know what? He talked about this. Can you clarify that? Is that right? Because why? I'm human. I am not the infallible word of God. So it's your responsibility to get in that word of God, know what is written. Well, how do I understand it? And I always say this, that scripture confirms scripture. So don't read one scripture. Don't get your Bible out. And how many people do this when they wake up in the morning and say, Lord, show me something today. Long may he live. I'm living forever. Yes, praise the Lord. Guess what? I'm going skydiving today because it says I'm going to live forever. Praise the Lord. But that is not what you do. Get yourself a plan. We're going to close here. I just want to give you 3 points. So if the worship team want to start making its way up, they can. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. It reads, my son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Next. Then shall understanding the fear of the Lord and when I sent in scriptures, I think I messed up writing it. Then shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Verse 8, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. First of all, 3 points. True wisdom comes from God. Amen. True wisdom doesn't come from pastors. They may be able to enlighten you on some things, but true wisdom comes from God. Verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The knowledge of good and evil doesn't come from the tree. the knowledge, the wisdom that you desire, you want, comes from God himself. He is the one who gives us wisdom. Wisdom brings discernment. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Man, when you get into the Word of God is what will help you make your decisions in your life. Whether it is, what should I do with my family? How should I raise my family? You know, Lord, we're going through the time. You know what? You know, to bring back into what happened in my life with my daughter, losing my daughter, it was His wisdom that gave us discernment. His wisdom that gave us words to speak. It was His wisdom that allowed us to stand on that day and to minister to other people. To discern. And to discern who we shared our feelings with and who we didn't share our feelings with. Because on everyone who comes to console you, is coming because they care about you. Some will become because they want to point fingers and say, ha ha. And wisdom discerns who you open up to and who you don't. Discerns who you share your secrets with and who you don't. Discerns who you share your vision with and who you don't. Because there will be people, even Christians, that may discourage. I told my daughter the other day, you can dream of what you want to do, but be careful who you share it with. Because there will be those who will try to destroy it. Be those who will try to discourage you from it. Wisdom brings discernment. And the last, in verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, for the man that speaketh forward things. True wisdom saves us from wickedness. If Adam and Eve had true wisdom, if they would have, just imagine, Adam and Eve, they walked with God, didn't they? They had this really good thing going. They're in his garden, and they can commune with God. And yet, instead of saying, wait till I talk with God about this tree that looks so good, let's just do it. True wisdom will save us from wickedness. When there is a situation, when there is something in your life, say, should I do this or should I not? When you ask for wisdom, it can save you from making the wrong choice. And I'm not just talking about choices of, you know, paying extra for the car loan or whatsoever. These are true wisdom. Lord, what is it that you want? Because as I said, not everyone who comes to you is going to be someone who has your best interest in their hearts. And what we need to do is to have wisdom to understand which way God is working. It is written. That's the end this morning. Your love is devoted. His love is devoted to us. No, His love is devoted to us, even devoted to Adam and Eve, even though they have sinned and He cast them out. He still gave mankind a way out. He still gave us, and that's how devoted to us. He could have said, I give up. He could have said, I gave up after Noah days when the whole world turned to wickedness. He could have gave up with us at any time, but His love is devoted. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, you know, I do have a difficult making decisions. I have difficulty in understanding what I should do. I have a difficulty in even understanding what the scripture says. But I want true wisdom. I want to know how to get into his word. I want to know how to do it. First way I say is, make sure you're here, not just on Sunday mornings. Make sure you're here during the Bible studies. Because I bet you, I'm not here on Wednesday nights, but I bet you, if you're here on the Bible studies, I bet you this man shows you the way to study the scripture yourself. He leads it. So I say to make sure you're here. But if you're saying, Pastor, that I need true wisdom, and I need help, I need to be encouraged to do it, just lift your hand this morning. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. You say, Pastor, I'm tired of hearing what the world says. Because in all reality, what the world says right now today, and I'm not being political, but what the world says today is that trust science. No. Trust God. Because a scientist out there tells me that I came from a monkey. I came from a tadpole. I ain't not going to believe in the loon. But today, we see scholars, we see scientists, we see experts, all this telling us everything that is right and what's wrong. But I trust God. If you're here today and say, you know what, I want to stop listening to the world. And I want to put my trust in God this morning. Just lift your hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see those hands were lifted. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just touch them, Lord God. Lord, that you will begin to expose yourself to them, Lord God. Lord, that as they begin to read your word and get into your word, Lord God, that, Lord, that which you want to speak to them just jumps off those pages to them, Lord. And Lord, as they begin to read that and they begin to get that little revelation, Lord God, that it excites them so much that they want to continue reading more. Because really, Lord, the best excuse for being late to work is I was reading the Bible. Not that my car wouldn't start. So Lord, I pray that you would just encourage them. Lord, that you would begin to, as they get in the word, to enlighten them, Lord God, with your wisdom. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, I give you thanks for this church. Lord, for what they mean to me and my family and to our church. For their departing of what they've learned and imparting them to us. Lord, I thank you for them. And I ask that you bless Alliance Christian Center as well. Bless everything that they do. Every decision they make, Lord. Every move they make and every step they take. Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's just sing that song, Love is Devoted, because he is. He is faithful to give you what you ask of him.